The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Inc. for Lagos. Good morning to you. Welcome to the last 1 hour of the show. 8 minutes inside the hour already. I'm Sharif Quadri. It's Thursday, and every Thursday we discuss health and health-related matters. And this morning we are here again to have that conversation on health. But before we go on, let me make an announcement. It's a very interesting one, because earlier this morning I dropped a teaser on our website, nigeriainfo.fm. I asked a question: who is Nigeria's petroleum minister of state? And I've got a response. Congratulations to you, Anon 3020. You have won 5,000 naira for yourself. Congratulations to you. Alrighty. Well, you can look out for, you know, these teasers on the morning crossfire in the chat room of nigeriainfo.fm. That's our website, okay? The chat room. It's also the place we use to get your thoughts and, you know, your questions and your responses to some of the conversations that we have here on Nigeria Info. The website is nigeriainfo.fm. So let's get on with our conversation this morning. We had an intense conversation yesterday. Quite intense, I dare say. And quite a number of people shared their stories. It was quite emotional. And then we decided to come through this morning to discuss mental health, the state of our mental well-being. So what I can start with is to say that, I mean, from a session of psychiatrists in Nigeria, they released some staggering numbers last year that 60 million Nigerians currently suffer from mental illnesses. 60 million. I have a guest on the show this morning that would corroborate or give us new figures if she has it. But then, from what we have, as of October last year, 60 million Nigerians currently suffer from mental illnesses. Now, this figure could be worse, but we'll get to that point in a moment. At least one of every seven Nigerians would end up with one mental health condition or the other. One out of seven. That's kind of scary, right? Now, let me also have you know that up to 80% of Nigerians with diagnosable mental illnesses, they do not seek treatment. Either they are not aware, or there are other issues that are stopping them, other issues that are responsible for them seeking mental health. In 2019, a survey by the Africa Polling Institute, API, showed a lack of mental health awareness in Nigeria. That survey says only 10% of mentally affected Nigerians can access appropriate care, mental health care. Research by the World Health Organization found that every $1 invested in improving treatment for depression and anxiety would generate a $4 return for the economy. Are we having commensurate investment in mental health awareness, mental health treatment in Nigeria? That's a whole new level of conversation entirely. But let me bring in my guest at this juncture so that we can quickly jump on the areas that we've touched on thus far on the show this morning. And I would also implore you to be getting ready with your questions then, so that my guest can come through. I have a senior resident at Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba, on the show this morning. Dr. Mobolawa Akonde Akinyemi is here via the telephone. Dr. Mobolawa, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, good morning, Chair. I'm happy to be here.
It's good to have you here. Now, let's start with the numbers. What is this current situation? I mean, the figure that I have, the stat that I have, is saying 60%. But what can you tell us about this number as regards mental health issues that we have in the country?
Okay, so that's the newest statistic. And as a practicing mental health physician, I can tell you that those numbers are pretty accurate. Sometimes the numbers vary from 1 in 7 to 1 in 5. So Nigeria, we have a problem with statistics.
Right.
But our research has shown that the number of people that have diagnosable mental health condition, walking around, walking are at least 1 in 5 or 1 in 7. So with our population now of over 200 million, we are looking at close to 50, 60 million people with mental health conditions, and most of them, sadly, are not receiving treatment. At clinic yesterday, I still saw someone who had been ill for 20 years of psychosis, presenting for the first time at a mental health facility this year. So there's still a large gap of knowledge and access for mental health conditions.
What defines someone having mental health challenge? What do we mean when we say someone has some mental health challenge?
Okay, that's a very good one. You know, most times we have this idea, maybe from our media or our movies, that when we say someone has a mental health condition, it means that person that is talking to themselves on the road, what you know,
okolo.
Dancing at them. Okolo. But, you know, that is at one end of the spectrum. Yes, that is part of what we manage. Or what when someone has a mental health condition, it is when the person is unable to fulfill their role, when the person is unable to meet their role, either as a, you know, in a family, at work, the person is unable to, there's no sense of well-being, the person is unable to contribute meaningfully, and the person is experiencing significant distress, you know, the person is having either physical suffering or emotional suffering. So when anyone is having or the person's relatives, you know, are experiencing distress from the person's behavior, then you know that, okay, then maybe this person does have a mental health condition.
I mean, I know that it's a very broad topic when we say mental health. And the reason I am not trying to separate anxiety, panic attack, and all of those other things that we've talked about last year and all of that, the reason I'm not trying to separate them is because I want us to look at them like broadly like that, because the target is to try and educate people how they can prioritize their mental well-being. At what point, Dr. Mobolawa, would you say that people should start taking their mental health seriously? At what point?
I think that's the crux of the matter. Mental health conditions occur in every age group. You know, initially we thought that by the time a child is maybe 5 years old, we now start worrying about mental health. But we're finding out that things that occur in the womb, around birth, the first 2 years of life, have profound effects on the mental health of people, even onto their adulthood, onto their elderly ages. So right from childhood, we must start to prioritize the mental health, from the way our teaching instruction is done in school, to the way we structure our holidays, to the way we raise our children at home, in all the way to university, even in the workplace. So it is not something that you say, oh, when I'm 25 years old, I'm 30, I start to prioritize my mental health. It must be something that is lifelong, because the brain is constantly growing, constantly developing. And at any point in time, there can be injury to it that can lead to mental health conditions. So it's never too early. The soonest you can start caring about your mental health is today and right now. And there are a lot of things that you can do to improve your mental health.
What are those things that one can do to improve mental well-being?
Yes, okay. So let's start. There are social, you know, the brain is a biological organ, but it also has psychological aspects, and there's also the social part. So each of those aspects has to be properly addressed. In the young, what we need to do is to prevent acute injury to the brain in utero and in the early stages. So countries that are serious about mental health, they started with the pregnant women require eating fortified food rich in folic acid, preventing obstetric complications. When you're pregnant, register at a proper antenatal, government-registered antenatal center, and make sure you don't take alcohol when you're pregnant, you know. And then when it's time for you to deliver, try to have as much as possible a safe delivery practice, something that will not compromise the child's brain. Mm. Then early development, good nutrition, stimulation, exercise, you know, and good integrated family upbringing. Those things help in the early ages.
Right.
When you're older, some of the greatest threats to good mental health are things like stress, problems, then drug and alcohol use, abuse. So those type of things, those are some of the factors.
Mm.
And the common thing is stress.
Mm.
You have to, I know everybody's always saying it, but stress, psychological, emotional,
right,
does predispose you to having a mental health condition.
Mm. I'm going to pick it up from the stress and emotional whatever that you've mentioned, because I said earlier in the morning, I said, look, this year alone, it has given us a share of the stress and trauma that some years would have given us. I mean, we are on the 26th and we're already stressed. There's no fuel, there's no light, there's this, there's that. The economic meltdown all across the world. There is the clamor for some type of war somewhere in Russia and Ukraine, and the entire pressure is just coming down on everybody. The stress is already too much. Now, this type of stress, we don't have power over it. We can't control it. How do you suppose people be able to manage external influence on their mental health? How do you shield yourself? What are those common practices or basic practices that you can employ to be able to manage yourself from succumbing to, you know, external influences, external factors that could make you stressed up?
Oh, okay. All right. So what we need to do is, as individuals, we need to build up our resilience, you know. And resilience is the ability to cope with stressors. And everybody has different capacity to deal with stress. But we can always do things to improve our level of stress. So there are certain things we can do. First and foremost is, number one, we have to prioritize our mental health. We have to understand that the same way we are going to the gym or eating healthy or doing certain things to worry about our heart, our liver, our diabetes, we also have to pay attention to our mental health.
Mm.
And there are certain things we need to do. One of the commonest things we tell is mindfulness. So when you're in this environment all around the world, there's a barrage of information,
yeah,
negative, positive, you know. You have to find a way to disconnect from that and reset your internal clock. And there are things you can do. Some people do exercise. Some people do yoga, meditation. Some people use prayer, you know. So there are different ways to disconnect and try to reset yourself and focus on the, try as much as possible to focus on the positive things around you. It's not easy. It requires a lot of work. But those are some of the things we call mindfulness practice, relaxation practices.
Mm.
Another very big challenge we have is that we have an epidemic of sleeplessness.
Sleeplessness.
It's a big problem. Mm. People believe that if they slept for 7 hours in a day, they are being lazy. And the human body, you must recharge your clock. You must recharge your brain. And one of the easiest ways to recharge your brain is to get good quality sleep.
Mm.
I don't know how easy that will be with the generators. You know, there's no light. Everybody's generator is on. There's light from the fluorescent and the security lights.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the things that do have impact on our health. We need to rest, get adequate minimum amount of sleep for an adult is 9 hours. And I'm repeating that again. 7 to 9 hours.
7 to 9 hours.
Yes, 7 to 9 hours. An adult needs to recharge. Not to talk about if you're ill or you've had some other, like, you might even need greater amounts of sleep. But how many people are meeting that threshold for sleep and rest? Okay?
Let me, Dr. Mabolawa, let me come on that about 7 to 9 hours, because between me and you and the person listening to us right now, that will be very hard in this Lagos that we are. It's going to be very, very, very difficult. But how do you know that you're getting to that breaking point? Because I say this because quite a number of people, like you have said, sleeping for too long means they are wasting away their lives, and they just want to be out there. Being out there to them is to them, it means, you know, hard work. It means you're trying to show up. You're trying to live your life and everything. But at some point, your body would have to, start asking questions. What are those signs that most likely the body can be giving you as you nearing your breaking point as an individual?
Okay, so that's very cool. Now, the human mind and body are intricately connected. There's no barrier between the brain and the body. So if your brain is not settled, your body is not going to be settled. Your body is going to be giving you signs, apart from the psychological signs.
Mm.
So a lot of, as I said, there's an epidemic of sleeplessness. People are, okay, they've made up, I haven't slept well Monday to Friday, and then they can't sleep. They're having insomnia, they're sleeping, they're waking up. Very common presentation of signs of stress.
Mm.
Then they're also having anxiety symptoms. They're anxious, they are worried, they're having palpitations. There's this sense that something is going to go wrong and they don't know what. And they are always on edge, always. And then because of that, a lot of people tend to self-medicate using alcohol. Very, very common form of self-medication. Okay, I can't sleep. Maybe if I take a drink, that will help. And then it's a vicious cycle. The alcohol doesn't help, the anxiety. So those are some of the symptoms. Headaches, generalized body pains, and then you go to the hospital and then they run every conceivable test. I've had people have even MRIs and they can't find what's wrong with them, but they're having this.
Even MRI, oh my.
Yes, word. And because the problems are from the brain, and the brain is not settled, the body will not be settled. So those are some of the signs. They are snapping at people. People are saying you're having personality change, you yourself, you're an easygoing person, and then all of a sudden you're hot-tempered, or you're withdrawing away from friends and family. Those are early signs of someone that could be having mental health challenge.
Right. So sometime last year, I was so stressed up that I didn't know what was going on. So I had to go and meet Dr. Fred. He's probably listening right now. And after asking me so many questions, I mean, Dr. Fred is just down there, down here, in just below the studio here. And, we spoke for a few minutes and he just said, you have to take a break right now. And I just said, okay, I'm putting in a notice right now. I'm taking a break. The next day, I did not come to work. I had to go because he said, I must go on that break that day, that I should stop everything I am doing and just proceed on break. And that's exactly what I did. That was sometime, last quarter of last year. So I totally connect with what you have said as to how people respond to, stress. The body will just start telling you stuff that you just have to obey. Dr. Mola, let's take one or two reactions, right? Before we head out, we'll take our first break. And when we return, we can then talk to Lagos, as to, how they get to know anytime they are stressed and what they do when they are stressed. If you can't take a break when you're stressed, we'd love to hear from you as well. We're interested in your mental health because that's why we have decided to put up this particular conversation this morning. Okay, I'm going to start with this response from our live stream on YouTube. On Facebook rather. The person says, the person is trying to ask whether, how you, the doctors cope with stress, hearing all kinds of people come through to you with their own issues. But Dr. Mola, just hold that thought. Let's head out for this break and we'll be right back. Lagos, stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back to Health Thursday here on the Morning Crossfire. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Dr. Omobolawa is here with us via the telephone this morning, and we've been talking about how you can prioritize your mental health. That's our focus this morning. There are different layers of mental health and mental well-being, different topics and subtopics. Well, this morning we just want to talk generally, broadly about prioritizing your mental well-being and how it impacts your output, your productivity as a human being. We've discussed quite a lot in the first half of the show, but this second part of the show, let's bring that conversation to you, where you can now interact with Dr. Mobolawa, Senior Registrar at the Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba, on how you prioritize your mental well-being. How do you do it personally? As a person, when you're stressed, what do you do? Do you wait till you get stressed before you take action. And when you take action, what type of action do you take? Smoke, drink, sleep, swim, run, jog, whatever it is, we'd like to know. And if you don't do anything yet and you're wondering whether you are that type, that me, I know they get stressed, so me, I know anybody, you know, there are people like that they don't even know that they're stressed. And the reason I'm saying this is so that, you know, Dr. Mobolawa can shed light on that. It's my next question to her. So let me drop that here. So please, you can join the conversation, okay? I can see your calls, but let's announce telephone numbers for those, you know, who are joining for the very first time and would like to be a part of this conversation. 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. Those are the numbers that you can call. The female line is currently down right now. Hopefully we'll get it sorted out before the end of the show. But if you're on Twitter, you can also send me messages via Twitter. Twitter is at Nigeria Info FM. WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. We're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube. To join the live stream, you can just search for Nigeria Info on Facebook and on YouTube, and then it will pop up and you can join, you know, any of these platforms and drop your questions and your thoughts as well. Dr. Mobolawa, so we've talked about so many signs and symptoms, that if you can use that word, that people may want to watch out for. But there are some people that they are super men and super women. The lady gets out in the morning at 3 a.m. to get to the market, you know, go and carry load goods, you know, from the major distributor straight to her own shop. Before you know it, it's 7 o'clock, and then she's doing her work up until 6 when she will close, or even 7. And before you know it, she's heading back in heavy traffic again at night. She gets home at 10, 11. She sleeps 3 a.m. She's back again. And she's been doing this for years. And you hear, I know they get tired. Me, tired. How? Now, is that even possible to start with? What do you think might be happening?
Okay, so in biology, there'll be people that are outliers, you know. There'll be maybe of the population, 0.01% of the entire population will have a condition that they're called ultra short sleepers, meaning that if they sleep 5 hours, they are able to function like someone that sleeps 9 hours.
Ooh.
It's a genetic condition, and it is extremely rare. It's not common. But a lot of people, and then, you know, they are very successful. So a lot of people now try to pattern themselves on this type of people, not knowing that, that's MGCO wrote in his book that he only sleeps for 5 hours and that he doesn't need more than 5 hours for peak functioning. But you're not that MGCO, and you do not have that genetic composition or brain chemistry.
Right.
And then you're forcing your body, it's like a square peg in a round hole. You're trying to force your body and your brain into something that it's not capable of functioning with. And that's why you see a lot of people, I show this so well, and then at age 52, the person drops dead, you know.
Okay.
Or so those are some of the things. You can't cheat nature. If most people are designed to have down periods. Traditionally, in our own culture, when we're still farming, you don't farm all year round now. You farm, you have your harvest, you rest for a few months until it's time. And even the people that designed our current work life of 9 to 5, they have vacations, and they do not play with their vacations.
They don't.
They will shut down everything, shut people, and you can't reach them on the phone because they have come to realize that if you work hard, you must prioritize your rest and play if you want to have peak functioning, or else you'll just be giving below par work. And you think you're working, but you're working even harder to deliver even less. Do you understand?
Right.
Something you'd have done in 2 hours, but because you're tired, it takes you 5 hours, and then you keep pushing yourself. So you need that downtime to be able to perform at your peak condition. Are you following?
Yeah, I'm with you completely. Completely. I mean, I get that part, but you said they are rare, and I just want people to know that part, that, you know, this thing is possible, but then this set of people, they are just the aliens.
Extremely rare, and it's genetic. It's not training. It's not anything. It's how they are innately. Some people are tall, very tall. Some people are average. Most of us would be average height. You understand? And some of us would be very short. So there will always be one or two people that are extraordinary.
Right.
We cannot all push ourselves to be like that.
Indeed. Now let's go to the telephone and get to know more about how people cope with stress and how they manage their mental health. Morning to you.
Hello, bro. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yes, my name is Joseph.
Sorry, we can't hear you.
The name is Joseph.
Joseph.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I would honestly tell you that ratio of 7 to 1.
Yeah.
Or 1 to 5.
1 to 5. Yeah.
Is very wrong.
Okay.
They didn't calculate me, John.
What do you think? What do you think?
What I think is that they didn't do their research well. It is far more.
It's far more.
It is far more. I have an opportunity to interact with people. Like, if I should explain something to you, why I said they didn't join me. How can you even meet up? I don't understand. Like, myself, I'm going crazy. You have the mouth. You have a mountain house rent. That my house rent was just increased by over 40% by my landlord. Doesn't care. I got involved. My family got involved into the hands of Matman Chinebi John Machinma. And everything that I hustled for was taken away. By the time I could come back to Nigeria, I had lost everything last year. I've been struggling. There is no work anywhere. You have school fees. You have everything. There is no food anywhere. And that is the complaint. Just come around this community, just people complaining. So, the ratio is what they're
saying. It's far more. It's far more. Maybe one in three, Abby.
My brother, if you want, I can tell you everybody.
Everybody.
The only people that are not suffering it at this time, that's why we're not suffering it at employers. They are also
the employers.
Because when you have your work leave at the end of the month, you start looking for another person. Every month you are in the employment market. It also psychologically affects you.
I mean, look, Joseph, I think you made a point there by even employers are not shielded from this issue of stress and mental, you know, well-being. I think you made a very valid point there. But thank you, though, for sharing that thought. Dr. Mobola, you heard what he said, right?
Yes, I agree. We are having difficult times. You know, when COVID came, we thought that was the most difficult period mentally for us as a society.
Right.
And then COVID left, and then we're dealing with the economic and emotional impact. So there is a lot going on. But even in the midst of that, one has to be proactive. One has to be practice mindfulness, you know.
Right.
We are not where we want to be, but we are better off than a lot of people, you know. And there's still hope. Once you're still alive and you're okay, there's still a possibility that you can turn things around, regardless of how you're feeling at this point.
That's exactly what I want to... I mean, the last caller, you know, made mention of so many things. How do we tell that person, based on the topic we're discussing this morning, how do we tell such a person that has got mountains and mountains of obligations to be met, but then he has no means of meeting those obligations? How do we tell such a person, you know, to prioritize his mental health when these obligations are right there?
Yes. So those are real life challenges. One of the things we try to do is that we encourage people to do is to have a community, a therapeutic community, meaning that you should have to have someone trustworthy and that you can unburden your challenges with. Part of another challenge we are having is loneliness. You know, when we say we have loneliness, people say, but I go to church, I have friends. But, you know, everybody is keeping up this facade of everything is okay with me.
Yeah.
I've got everything. And then we don't have people that we can unburden ourselves with and be very open with and tell them, oh, I'm having this, I'm having that. And you don't have to be careful, because sometimes the people say, oh, can't pray about it. Oh, is it spiritual? So it's very difficult for you to even find someone. But we need to have those relationships, because a lot of times some of these challenges that seem insurmountable is because you're looking at it from only one direction. If you're able to put 2-3 heads together, you know, those are some of the things, you know, that they encourage. Having a community and you talk to 2-3 people, you say, oh, this is my challenge, talk to that. You might be surprised that someone that has the solution to your problem is sitting down there not knowing that you understand. So as much as possible, we have to have a community of people that we can fall back on.
Right.
You can't do everything by yourself. You have to have someone. For example, you could have accommodation problems, and you're talking about it, and someone's like, oh, I have an uncle that has a house somewhere and he's outside the country. Maybe you could stay here pending. But if you're just keeping quiet and you're not reaching out for help,
right,
then you might be unable to access some of these resources. More and more, we're beginning to find out that losing a sense of community also has an impact on your mental health. So have people you can tell, be vulnerable with, and can help you put your head together. And so, yeah, maybe you do this, maybe you do that. And then some of those things help with some of these challenges. Well, but then it's not easy going forward, to be honest.
Right.
There are real life you have to keep on working through. But you also have to learn to take some time off, you know.
Okay.
You are worried about house rent. Yes, the house rent could be there tomorrow. But take time, watch a movie, laugh with your family, walk around, do some exercise. When you exercise, it releases chemicals in your brain that help your mood, your stress level. So take a brisk walk down the road, 30 minutes, you know, listen to some good music. All those things, they sound very easy, but they are very effective in improving people's mental health.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, what you just said now, definitely quite a number of people would find it very, very useful. Let's take another call. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Yes, please.
And good morning to your guest.
Thank you.
Hello.
Yes, please go on. We can hear you.
She talked about 7 to 9 hours sleep. If somebody has a nap,
okay,
like you slept 30 minutes or 1 hour or so in the afternoon, should it be counted among that is should it be counted among the 6 or 7 hour or seven to 9 hour sleep?
Okay. Is that the only question?
Yeah, that's
okay. All right, thank you. Let's take another call before Doctor. Okay, that caller has dropped, so we're gonna hang up now. Doctor Mobolawa, you heard this question.
Yes. Okay, unfortunately, no, it doesn't. People like to think about it. Nighttime sleep is nighttime sleep. You need that nighttime sleep. Napping is very good, but it does not replace your nighttime sleep. I hope that helps.
It doesn't help. we are plenty on this tape. No. We should count it together now, eh?
It doesn't. It has to be straight. There's some technical reasons why you need to sleep for a long period of time.
Yeah.
For you to be able to recoup. There are certain changes that will cause. But daytime napping is fantastic. It's good for one's mental health, good for one's productivity. Encourage it as much as is possible. But you also need your nighttime sleep.
I know in some countries, some companies have sleep room where you can just go during work hours or you take a break. Then you go into the sleep room and then you just lay on the bed, nothing. If you want to sleep, you can sleep. I mean, they said it improves productivity in their workplace. Prince Kafo on Twitter says, mental illness in 60s are mostly by accident, but kids of our days with all manners of hard drugs and hard alcoholic intake increase mental illness to high proportion to reduce its drugs and hard alcoholic should be controlled by government so we can separate from postpartum. So it puts everything together there. Well, thank you, Prince, for sharing your thought. Let's take another call. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, please.
Please, I want to ask, this is Pastor Ladipo, calling from Orilegum. I want to ask the doctor, can this thing leads to, then it leads to a kind of stroke or whatever.
Okay.
That is what I want to ask.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, too. There you go.
Yeah. So that's a very good question. As I've been saying, that body, mind, they are intricately woven together.
Mm.
Chronic stress leads to increased risk of heart conditions, hypertension, diabetes, sleeplessness. All those things work together and increase people's risk of coming down with things like stroke.
Mm.
So they all work together. They can actually, in the long term, lead to strokes, even some cancers, and all sorts of chronic condition.
Hmm.
So that's why you have to take care of your mental health. It all works together.
Hmm.
Same way, if you have diabetes, hypertension, other conditions that
right.
are not well managed,
right.
you can predispose you to coming down with some other mental health challenges.
Hmm.
Okay?
Indeed. I have the other calls here on my screen, but I can't take any more because we have to go now. What will be your takeaway to our listener this morning on prioritizing their mental, health, Dr. Mobolawa?
Okay, so I want to just say that caring for your mental health is a journey. You just have to be conscious about it. You start taking steps, try and find out what you can do to promote good mental health and incorporate those habits into your lifestyle. Lifelong, it would can profoundly affect your health, your mental, physical health, and improve your quality of life. So try and read. What do I need? I need to sleep. Try and incorporate it. I need to eat well. I need to rest. I need to relax. I need to have a good community. All those things. Gradually, it's not a one-day thing. It's a constant journey that we are all trying to achieve. We're all trying to do. All of us, even your doctor too. So, but with time and effort, something that is achievable.
Mm. Dr. Omobolawa Akonde-Akinyemi, Senior Registrar, Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba. Thank you so much for joining us on the program this morning. You've been quite helpful. Thank you.
All right. Pleasure being here.
Lagos, that's our show this morning. You have heard from the experts. Please take your mental well-being very seriously this year, 2023. You can see how he's going, Abby. He's going. Otilo. Take it very seriously. I'm Sharif Quadri. Thank you for being a part of my morning, and thank you for allowing me to be a part of your morning. I'll be here tomorrow at 5 for Open Mic Friday. Good morning to you.
Dentist, what are cavities? And how does Colgate protect my teeth from cavities?